From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Tuesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio. Ole Miss announces Matt Luke as head coach. Well, I guess they announced him on Sunday night. Had the introductory press conference yesterday inside the Manning Center. So we will discuss that a little bit, and we'll talk with the man himself, Matt Luke, joining us on today's show to discuss his tenure and try to get a little more just about the guy that is Matt Luke here. He's been around for a while, but now the face of the program, the face of the Ole Miss football team. So Matt coming up in a little while on the show that's brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon. Remember, there's a basketball game tonight against South Dakota State at the Pavilion, and different times in the game, you're going to see where you can get bottomless refills at the Oxford Exxon, any Craddock Oil location in Mississippi, or at least Blue Sky location. Go get the bottomless refills. Great thing there to keep you keep your thirst quenched with the Oxford Exxon and Blue Skies across the state of Mississippi. Also, plate lunch specials, $4.99, ribs, and more there. Three Oxford Exxon, and again, we're coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio.
We are. Clark Ford is in Amory, 662-257-1900. 662-257-1900 is the number you call. That number you ask for Corey Clark. You tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. Corey sends you a quote within 15 minutes. It's really that easy. It's right to the bottom line. There's no haggling. It's a great deal, a great vehicle, great service, everything you could possibly want in 15 minutes in a quote. Now, at that point, it's up to you. You can shop that quote, or you can just go ahead and let Corey do for you what he's done for so many podcast listeners from, as we tell you all the time, from Cape Girardeau to Biloxi, from Dallas to Atlanta, and all points in between. And that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. Mention that you heard about Clark Ford on this podcast. You can mention that you heard about Clark Ford on the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. I'll tape one of those tomorrow with Edward Ashoff of ESPN. You can mention that you heard about it on the Soft Verbal podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. I will tape one of those tomorrow with one Chase Parham and one Russell Johnson. We will talk about the impact on recruiting of the Matt Luke hire. Mention any of those podcasts, $500 off the bottom line on your deal at Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900. If you have ESPN 11 and you got to watch the pre-podcast podcast, one that will never be loaded onto iTunes, it was probably our best podcast ever. Now we will attempt to give you something that is similar.
It's an everyday thing, as we talked about. You have to kind of hang with us day to day to day to day to get the full scope, because we're kind of all over the place. I mean, it's like I had somebody walk up to me in the press conference yesterday, and they said, you know, you made a really good point this morning about, talking about yesterday's show, said you made a really good point this morning about Ross Bjork and the search that I had not thought about. And they go, I can't remember what it was. What was it you said about? And I'm like, dude, I don't know. I don't remember. We talk 7.5 hours a week. I have no idea what I say half the time. So,
well, that's like yesterday. Literally, as we finished the podcast, I had agreed to go on the Jeff Calkins show and at 9:25 yesterday. And we finished about 9:23. And they were calling to get me on the air. And I did the segment with Jeff immediately after you and I had podcasted. And someone said something about what I said about Mike Norvell, and I said, I don't remember saying anything about Mike Norvell, and it turns out I didn't. But for just a few minutes, I thought, did I say something about Mike Norvell? Because I could have sworn I didn't. You talk enough, and you forget what you talked about and who you talked with. It's one of the reasons that during coaching searches and stuff, I absolutely hate when people go, hey, can we go off the record? Yeah, we can, but the problem I have is that I'm going to talk to 40 people today, and it's going to get jumbled. And I try not to even take notes on off the record. So you forget all the conversations you had.
So yesterday, along with what was said by Matt Luke, Ross Bjork, and Jeffrey Vitter in the Manning Center, they did also announce Matt's contract details for the the season and the upcoming seasons as well. Matt has got a 4-year deal. He's going to make $3 million this year, or in 2018, 3.1, 3.2, and 3.3. So increasing by $100,000 each year in addition to the $3 million in the first year. Pretty standard stuff past that. He gets, starting with the third SEC win each season, he gets $150,000 per win. Also $150,000, against a Power 5 opponent in the regular season. Ole Miss is going to play one of those every year. He gets a chance at that very first game against Texas Tech.
But you realize that means that he could go 4-4 in the league and win the other game, and $3 million becomes $3.45 million lickety split.
Well, it also means he's getting a bowl game in that mix, and the minimum for a bowl game is at least $50,000.
So win 4 SEC games and win your non-league game against a Power 5, and it's a $3.5 million deal at minimum.
Get into the Group of Six bowls, which is that middle tier between Birmingham and the Citrus Bowl.
Yeah.
He gets $100,000, I think, for that tier. So that the notable thing is his assistant pool. And now, look, these numbers are a little funny because they're adding a 10th assistant this year. This is the first year that there's going to be a 10th assistant in college football.
Yes.
And because of that, nobody knows exactly how much all the salary pools around the country are making. But look, right, not every assistant in the country is making $300,000, $400,000, $500,000. So this is still substantial. Based off the 2017 numbers, Ole Miss is paying the fourth largest assistant pool nationally.
It's behind ULM and who?
ULM, Harvard, and Stanford. You know, those academic
institutions. The academic schools, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, it is behind LSU, Alabama, and Clemson. You know, LSU did this with Ed Orgeron last year. Basically, he said, we're going to pay you a little bit. Now, they did some dumb stuff on a buyout and different things, but they said, we're going to pay you a little bit, and then we're going to give you a ton of money for assistance. That's why he was able to get Dave Aranda, Matt Canada as his coordinators, and they parlayed that into a pretty good season. Matt is going to have $5.135 million for his 10 assistant coaches. That's a very, very high number, so chance there to get some good guys, to reward some guys and have a lot of money to work with. Also, $2.1 million for 5 strength conditioning coaches, football operations analysts, video recruiting, and player personnel. So definitely an increase in assistant and analyst pool money for Ole Miss as they obviously Matt is not getting the contract that Hugh Freeze had there at the end, but they're not saving money. They're putting it into use in other places.
Yeah, the financial commitment from a staff standpoint is impressive. Been noted by several people nationally. As people say all the time, this is big boy football. This is not Group of Five. This is big boy, and you got to pay in the big boy land if you want to compete. There are really no shortcuts.
Matt's not going to answer this on today's podcast. He was asked about it yesterday about assistant coach changes and whatnot, said he was going to evaluate everything, gave a very coach answer, and I don't mean that in a bad way. He gave the answer he should have been giving during the opening press conference because that's not the time to discuss anything in depth there. But he said that he would look at academics, compliance, coaching staff, and everything in between, figure out where they need additional bodies and also where they need to streamline. Because one of my takeaways yesterday is that Ross, Matt, program ownership as a whole, I don't know that they're necessarily happy about the way some of the things were structured under the previous regime, about the way that they...
You're so diplomatic. When this ends, you're going to go into politics, and you've got a career in it. You really do. You've got the diplomacy and the hair. It's a perfect combination. And you don't have to
tell me I should like lose 35 pounds and run for alderman or something pretty soon.
I think you could go bigger than that. Okay. I think you could go bigger than that. I think, you know, Robin Tannehill's worried about me running against her, which is comical. And I know she's not. You don't even have to be a mayor. You can go straight for something big. You are being so diplomatic right now that I'm just sitting back almost in total admiration. Normally I would be nauseous from how diplomatic you're being, but right now you're doing such a fantastic job of it that I'm just admiring the craft work. Go ahead.
In other words, they've got to fix the hodgepodge craft that was in the previous regime. Is that better?
Again. Okay, you baited me, and here I go.
Yeah.
I've said it before. It's not new. When people say you can't win at Ole Miss, yeah, you can. I can give you empirical data that you can win at Ole Miss. And don't do, well, they cheated. We've covered that. The truth is, Ole Miss cheated less than the rest of the SEC. Did Ole Miss cheat? Yes. 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 Does everyone else cheat? Yes. Does Ole Miss cheat to the same level that everyone else does? No. And that's not by choice. That's by necessity. They don't have the resources, read into that, whatever the hell you want, to cheat with the systemic cheating that is used in Power 5 football. If you rank the Power 5s on how good is your network, Ole Miss is not in the top half of the Power 5s. If that offends you, I'm sorry. If you need to reach out to sponsors and get mad, go for it. I'm right. Now, let me give you the good news. I watched a staff that was frankly kind of disorganized. That was an average staff. Probably, if you were to rank them, a below average recruiting staff win the Sugar Bowl. I watched that team go to an Access Bowl in the Peach Bowl. They got beat, but they went to the Peach Bowl. And a year later, come a 4th-and-25, and everybody goes, well, that team had Laramie Tunsil. He did not play the first 7 games.
They beat Alabama without him at left tackle, yes.
Stop. That was, no one would have looked at that program and said, that is a program that is the model for efficiency. No one would ever have said that. That is a disciplined program. No one would ever have said that. No one, ever. The biggest homers on the Ole Miss beat wouldn't use those words. So, yes, you can win at Ole Miss. Is it harder to win at Ole Miss? Yes.
We've said this for years. You have to be efficient. Now, look, everybody's got to be efficient. Everybody. But you have to be incredibly efficient, and you can't have any wasted minutes. That's it. You can win. You can get talent. Where Ross Bjork is right is that Ole Miss has become a national brand. You got to pick your spots, but you can recruit nationally.
Sure.
You're not hamstrung by things that some other schools are trapped by from that standpoint.
You're in the Southeastern Conference.
Yeah, you have 3 little letters on your shirt when you go to a game on Saturday.
That makes you a national brand. Yeah. Mississippi State's a national brand. LSU's a national brand. Tennessee's a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can do it at Ole Miss.
That's my favorite thing with some of the ridiculous media around the country, some of the national guys, some of the provincial guys that go, yeah, well, you know, it's not as good of a job as Nebraska or Tennessee. I mean, in the 90s, it's going, oh, my God. Oh, my, I mean, I missed Tennessee's Access Bowls the last 5 years. I had problems there.
You didn't see the Orange Bowl?
Yeah, I know. They played Georgia Tech in Atlanta. That's the time they've been in Atlanta recently.
No, Mississippi State and Ole Miss have both been far more successful than Tennessee over the last 20 years.
Yeah. Nebraska has been a crap program for a while.
Yeah. Oh, Scott Frost rolling the dice, man.
It's just everything's changed. The landscape has changed so much with college football over the last 10 years that it's not – I mean, we might as well be talking about segregation when we talk about 1997. Same thing.
Yeah. It was 20 years ago.
Crazy, but anyway, we will
– can I make a quick point?
You can, yeah.
Because we have a minute.
Minute.
You know, one of the great things about the Iron Bowl last week, Saturday?
All right.
We didn't talk about it because of obvious.
Yeah.
Auburn proved something. I wrote about this in 10 Thoughts, but 10 Thoughts got missed Saturday, Sunday. No fault of anybody's. I should have just punted. Auburn beat Alabama with traditional football. Lined up and kicked Alabama's ass, knocked their teeth in. With traditional football. I'm so glad. I had it on my outdoor TV out there. You and I were on the phone. I was dealing with things. I didn't get to fully enjoy it. You know, because I'm a big Auburn fan. And I hate Alabama. Or it's vice versa. I can't keep up. But I enjoyed it. What I enjoyed about it was you didn't have to be gimmicky. Because if I hear one. That's one of the great things I heard from Matt Luke yesterday. I wanted to go, yeah, exactly. You don't have to have. A gimmick. In fact, the gimmicks don't work. Every time you show me these teams that have these gimmicky offenses that score all these points, they have defenses that can't stop me. Mm-hmm. And the only thing I can do athletically is run in a straight line at a slow pace for a long period of time. And they can't stop me. So how you win. That's not how you beat Alabama. Auburn lined up. Oh, they did some things. But Auburn, oh, they run the spread. They run the run. They run. Auburn runs the football. Auburn won. Jared Stidham had a good game. Threw the ball down the field. Made Alabama respect the deep ball. And they ran with Kerryon Johnson. And they beat him at the line of scrimmage. That's how they won the game. And that's how you win in this league. That's how you win in any league.
No, there's no doubt about that. I mean, this is – I don't know what's going to happen from an SEC standpoint of getting left out and all that kind of stuff. This was good for the SEC.
It was.
They needed something to kind of trample Alabama. And to,
well, as everybody sees, as there's so much resetting going on, people look at it and go, maybe it's time to get away from the gimmicks. Texas A&M's about to go to the Jimbo Fisher style of football, and that is not going to be gimmicky. Jimbo's going to recruit a bunch of linemen and some backs, and they're going to play traditional football. Some smash mouth. Pro-style smash mouth.
So, crazy enough, we'll go to Matt in a second. Before we do that, tell you the podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Memphis, DeSoto County, and Chattanooga. 30 years old this year, one of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting that understands your market. Also, get the flow down option with Jason, where you can lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get that lower rate. 662-234-2704. JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
And before you get a mortgage, you need to pick a property to put the mortgage on. I would suggest going to Harry Alexander. I mentioned my 10 Weekend Thoughts. He's the sponsor of those 10 Weekend Thoughts. He is also a REMAX Legacy Realty agent here in Oxford. No one knows the residential and condo market better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. It's harryalexander.com. The email is ha@harryalexander.com. It's a great time to make a condo purchase. Again, harryalexander.com. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. We're also brought to you by, we're brought to you by, you can get tickets tonight. It's Ole Miss and South Dakota State basketball, 7 o'clock at the Pavilion. Tickets at OleMissTix.com. That's OleMissTix.com. Stephen McRoberts and the Ole Miss volleyball team made the NCAA tournament. I'll get that to you in a minute. Some ticket information there. Tickets are $5, I believe, at the Gillum Center. But I'm going to look that up in a second and give you more specific details. And then this weekend, it's Ole Miss and Virginia Tech at the Pavilion.
Now we will go to Matt Luke on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline. Matt, thanks for joining us this morning. I know you're out on the road. You probably haven't stopped moving much since finding out and doing the Sunday night thing with the team. I am curious, though. Neil and I were discussing this yesterday. Not many people get to have their dream job. You've obviously been able to accomplish that here at Ole Miss. But when you went home on Sunday night or whatever you did and finally got quiet after it was all over and you talked to the team, what were you kind of thinking and feeling? I mean, what were the emotions when you finally got a second to yourself?
You know what? It happened. It didn't happen until yesterday. I was on a plane flying to Macomb, Mississippi, and you know, you don't have any cell service there, and nobody else was in the plane except the pilot. So it was finally there that it kind of hit me. I was just like, man, this really is happening. And just, again, it's a dream come true, and I'm really excited, but I do realize that it's going to take a lot of hard work and recruiting, and you know, I'm looking forward to the challenge.
So when you got home Sunday night, I'm guessing there was family there. Your phone probably rang. Sunday night, Monday morning, did the phone calls stop?
It was pretty late. You know, the text, you know, kept coming in, and obviously you feel like you need to respond to everybody, and you know, just a lot of things going through your mind. Hey, I want to do this, and this, and you just kind of got to prioritize, and then you got to get some rest because you got to do a press conference the next day, and you want to make a good first impression on Rebel Nation and all the people that are going to watch you. So you just got a lot of stuff going through your mind. You just got to prioritize and go to work.
What were the nerves and the emotions yesterday talking to us idiots compared to when you did it for the interim one back in the summer?
You know, I think the nerves were there and the excitement was there, but this time, you know, my family was there. But also too, I was more experienced. You know, I felt more comfortable there because I'd get a press conference, you know, for whatever 13 weeks in a row, and I had done one before. So just, I felt more comfortable, but also, you know, I guess maybe at the end of the speech, there was some emotion there. And then obviously when I was thanking my family and my mom and dad, that was also emotional too, because I know that, that's really important to them as well.
I'm going to compliment you here, and I'm kind of curious. It's more of an inside baseball thing, but we haven't talked to you a ton over 5 years in a media setting. As far as I'm going to get you a few times a year, we've talked about this. You always do injuries in your opening thing each week, and you kind of have an NFL feel to your press conferences. Hugh didn't do that. A lot of guys don't do that. We love it. Where did you kind of get some of your, hey, this is how I want to, you know, kind of schedule out these press briefings?
Well, I think when you take this approach, I think you have to be yourself. But I think everybody is shaped by, and I said this a bunch in all the press conferences, I think you're shaped by the people that kind of raise you in the coaching profession. And I started, you know, under David Cutcliffe for, you know, basically for 11 years. And so that's probably the maybe the foundation. And then you have, you know, you have Philip Fulmer sprinkled in there. You have Joe Panunzio sprinkled in there. You have Ed Orgeron, and you have some Hugh Freeze. And what you do is you try to, you know, you try to take the best from everybody you've been around. And that's what I've tried to do. And then along with what you think is best. And obviously, Coach Fulmer was always that way. He was very upfront, always with the media, tell them exactly what's happening. And so that's probably a little bit of him right there.
Yeah, because when I covered the Saints, that's what Sean Payton always did. Always loved it. First thing, before he even said anything about the game, he'd say, so-and-so, it's a knee, so-and-so, it's an elbow. And I was always like, you just shaved 10 minutes off of sometimes what is a not a pointless exercise, but sometimes those press conferences, and you have to think this on some Mondays, those press conferences go on, and it's like, man, we all could have been done 5 minutes ago. I mean, it's
right.
You've got to think that standing up there, but yet you never really – I was always kind of impressed because usually a first-year guy, you can tell sometimes they want to kind of bite the head off the guy that asked the stupid question or asked the repeat question
right.
That got answered at the beginning. You never did that. I was always kind of impressed with it.
Yeah, no, and that was one of the things I wanted to get across maybe in the press conference yesterday and to Ross in my interview. Hey, everybody knows I'm an Ole Miss guy. You know, everybody knows this is my dream job, and I love this place, but that's not the reason they should hire me. It's not. This is an SEC coaching job. You know, hire me because I've been playing and coaching in this league for 20 years, and I've been around. I know what a championship program looks like, and I've prepared, and I've been around all these different things. Hire me because I'm ready. You know, hire me because I showed you in this 4 months that I can lead a team. You know, that was more important to me that they hire the right guy than just hire an Ole Miss guy, if that makes sense.
All right, I'm curious about something because – I'm a former fat guy, and Chase here goes back and forth. You've lost a lot of weight. I don't think I'm breaking news here or getting overly personal. You've lost a lot of weight. How did you do it?
You know what? If you want to know the real reason behind it, is I went on a Disney cruise last spring break, and they take a picture of you and your family in front of that boat.
Yeah. Yeah.
and then they give you that big bill at the end. They put that picture under your door, and I was like, man, it's time. So that's what happened.
Yeah. Neil was sitting in a hotel room in Hoover, Alabama. He and I were covering the SEC baseball tournament in 2009, and he got on a scale for some reason and then went through. he did two straight series of P90X, 180 straight days, and then started running marathons.
182 straight days.
Yeah. And started running here.
Well, we all have our moments, I guess, that pushes over the edge.
So how did you do it? I mean, you didn't just say, well, I'm going to lose weight, and it magically disappeared. What did you change an exercise regimen? What did you do dietary wise?
Yeah, just my knees and ankles and everything hurt. So just from my playing day. So I just started walking more and just trying to be cognizant of what I was eating.
So you didn't like eliminate all carbs or anything?
Some, but not all, but some. Yeah, for sure.
You mentioned David.
It's going to be a challenge on the road. You know, that's for sure. I failed in my first day yesterday, so I got to do better.
How did you fail?
just eating fast foods. I got to do better.
What'd you eat?
What's your go-to?
We're crossing the line now.
Okay.
I think I ate pizza.
Yeah. Okay. My go-to fast food, and I haven't done it in forever, but like the one fast food that I still crave from the old day, I'll still every once in a while pass by a Taco Bell and I crave
really?
It. Really? Yeah, absolutely.
You mentioned David Clark a second ago. There was a media report last night from Chris Lowe that Tennessee had called him, just inquired about the head coaching position. Cut had turned them down. Are you surprised that they made that call? I mean, obviously nobody's really surprised that Cutcliffe's very happy at Duke.
You know what? I think it's a good fit. You know, we went into Duke. What Coach Cutcliffe has been able to do there, it's one of the greatest coaching jobs in recent history. When we got there, I'm not sure what the exact number, but they had not won very many games. And for him to build that program and again, I'm proud of that because I was part of that process. But he's done a phenomenal job there, and they just beat Wake Forest to go 6-6 and are now bowl eligible. And I want to say bowl eligible 5 of the last 6 years. So I know he's really happy there, and he's built a good foundation there. And I know he's got good support there from the AD, Kevin White, who's also a phenomenal person. So it's I think he's got a good thing going there, and that doesn't surprise me.
I'm curious, did you learn anything or observe anything when you were at Duke just from kind of being in the same town as Mike Krzyzewski?
You know what? It was interesting. You know, we obviously didn't have a great relationship or anything like that. But just watching his coaching style and how passionate and how fiery he was. And, you know, I enjoyed that part of it. So.
We talked about Sunday night a little bit. What was the, I know you interviewed a couple times, different things. Were you, was it kind of hard to sit still through the weekend? I mean, because you're obviously not having to coach every day quite like it would have been earlier in the season where you just focus on your players and stuff. You probably had a little more time to think about what was going on. I mean, were you, I guess, struggling to sit down and relax for 48 hours there?
Yeah, you know, I was, but for whatever reason, I just had a strange sense of peace just that because I knew that I had done everything I could. You know, I had, for 4 months, I'd given everything I had. And I just had a strange sense of peace. Hey, here, this is my plan, and I feel really good about it. I've been around Ole Miss a long time. I know what's going to work here and what's not. You know, I've been here under, you know, three different coaches and, you know, four if you count my, you know, the coach I played for. So it's just I kind of got a good feel of what works here and what doesn't. And, you know, I just had a strange sense of peace that, hey, I'm prepared for this. And, you know, if it happens, it's going to happen. It's meant to be.
Ole Miss is about to start the marketing push, obviously, for season tickets next year and kind of start your real tenure from a promotional standpoint. You got a lot of people that have got to, you know, redo their season – or not redo, but, you know, re-up their season tickets and everything. If you could give the fans just a couple reasons why they should, you know, keep investing and buy those tickets, what would they be?
Well, I think what makes the Ole Miss brand so special is the family. I think that's one thing that's held constant through all the different times and changes is the fact that Ole Miss is a family, and what makes Ole Miss special is the town of Oxford and Ole Miss combined and the family feel. And I think, you know, for us to make it through these times, we have to stick together as a family. Hopefully that they enjoy watching this team and the way they played with unbelievable effort. And I think the Ole Miss people have always appreciated teams that go out there and play really hard. And they play with effort and they represent Ole Miss the way that it should be represented. So that's the one thing I would say is, hey, let's stick together. Let's be a family. And no matter what, good times, bad times, let's keep pushing through this together.
You obviously, we saw it throughout the season, especially in the kind of the second half of the season. You were very popular with your players. They very much wanted you to be the permanent head coach. Along those lines, now that the season is over, obviously you would be in a bowl game if it weren't for the NCAA situation. But how much, if any, of kind of the re-recruitment of the current roster do you have to do?
You know what? I don't think much. I mean, I think maybe if some NCAA sanctions go the other way, there may be some of that. But you know, I think that the people and the players and the staff genuinely enjoyed coming to the building, and that was one of the things that I wanted to create. And not because it was soft, but because there was discipline and there was a team environment, and I was really proud of that and the way the culture was moving in the right direction. So I think with a full off season, we'll continue to build on that team mentality and you know, that blue collar, you know, tough mentality where nobody cares who gets the credit. That's really important to me.
Did you pick out your own suit and shoes yesterday, or did Ashley do it for you?
No question, Ashley did it.
Yeah, well, we always give Todd Abernathy grief about that because he says he picks his own thing. You know, Todd's always looking pretty sharp. He's kind of that guy, so he says he right. picks out his own outfits.
Yeah, well, that's the only suit I got. I'm gonna have to go. I'm about to get some more, I guess.
Yeah, you'll probably need more than one.
You probably have 50.
All the other ones, I do have more. Let me rephrase that, but they're all too big, so I have to go shopping.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you because you. It looks like you've lost to the point that the previous wardrobe probably no longer fits, right? I mean, did you get rid of all of it, or did
they're still in there just in case?
Yeah, how many red and blue ties do you own? It's got to be 50.
There's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot. But I've had a collection going here for a while now.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Well, hey, we really appreciate your time. I know you're busy. I guess the first full day on the second full day on the job. So, again, we're happy for you. Congratulations, and we'd love to visit soon.
Hey, thanks, guys. Hotty toddy.
Bye, Matt. Thanks to Matt for joining us here on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline and the Oxford Exxon podcast. The podcast brought to you in part by Tyson Drugs, TysonDrugs.com. They've got the Sildenafil. It's the $10 version of that $50 or $60 little blue pill. Check them out online at TysonDrugs.com or with a call of 662-252-2321. Fill out the form, or when you call them, give them your doctor's name, they'll get the prescription ready, and deliver it to you even if you're not local. So again, 662-252-2321.
The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you all the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you want, but all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with a live person. There's no 10 buttons to push, no 5-minute wait. OUB is offering 1-year CDs at 1.75% annual percentage yield, 3-year triple option CDs paying 2.01% APY. With the 3-year term, customers can deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and or bump the rate if OUB's 3-year rate rises. To learn more about OUB, check out LiveOxford, BankOxford.com, or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. The podcast also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. I've used Comer for AC repair. You can take my word for it. Their attention to detail, their customer service, and their work is second to none. Comer is an American standard dealer, but they work on any make or model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their website, comerheatingandair.com, or check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast. You get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane, 662-832-8749. And we're brought to you by Captain John Fryer and Tuna Chaser Charters in Biloxi. John handles inshore and offshore fishing expeditions from 4 to 12 hours. He knows where to put you on the fish that you want to catch. A popular trip for visitors that don't have as much time is the inshore trips for speckled trout and triple tail. You can reach John through his website, TunaChaserCharters.com, his Facebook page, or you can call John 228-348-7817.
We didn't directly mention it with Matt, but I asked without asking. Tom Mars rearing his head again yesterday. It's almost like maybe there's a bit of an agenda or a collaboration between multiple people in this situation, it feels like.
An agenda, you say? You think? It's tough. Man, it is tough to get one by you. You are on your game. You have picked up the clues. I mean, it's like you and Shaggy and Scooby and Fred and is it Velma or Thelma?
I never watched much Scooby-Doo. I really don't have a lot of understanding of that show.
Well, you would fit right in because you have picked up the clues and you can hop back in the mystery machine. I do think there might be an agenda.
Deontay Anderson with a full release. I mean,
I'm different than most people. If a kid wants a release, I say give him a full release. Yeah.
It's easier out, in the long run.
If he wants out, let him out.
Because he's not staying anyway. You're just doing the scholarship thing, and he's going. I mean, yeah, you're asking for a lot of headache when you don't just give it up. I mean, he's not helping your program past that point.
No, and you know, and if you fight it, right? I mean, if you fight it, it's going to end up hurting you in recruiting. I say let it be part of your recruiting pitch. You come here. Sorry.
Yeah.
No idea who that was. No one who knows me, because most people who know me know that I'm podcasting at 9 in the morning.
That's a good point. Moore's also telling, I guess, Anthony Morales that Deontay Anderson, his parents, aren't the only Ole Miss players' parents who have retained him. Wouldn't say who or how many, but said as of this evening, it's more than one, but less than 11. Thanks, Tom.
More than one, less than 11.
A lot of grandstanding lately, isn't it?
Man, you're sharp. Yes. It's ridiculous.
There's some joke in collaboration here about, you know, ambulance chasers and different things from previous shows, but I can't quite put my finger on it because I'm having a bad day, obviously. But just saying here.
Yeah.
The irony is thick right now.
Did your parents think about naming you Dan?
No, if I'd have been a girl, I was going to be named Megan Christina, I think.
That's a good name.
Yeah, but I'm not aware of any other names for the male version of myself.
Can't remember what my parents were going to name me had I been female. It's a long time ago. They probably don't remember either.
Sorry.
It's okay. Like, I can't remember what we would have named Campbell had she been a boy.
So what do you think, though, in all this? Seriously, I mean. Does your gut tell you that it's any player of relevance? And I don't mean that rudely, you know what I mean? Or it's just dudes?
I got to be hesitant here because I've heard some specific names. I don't know that I put credence into them because it's rumor mill stuff. I think it's possible that it's some players of what I ask this all the time. What happens with the NCAA? Is there a second-year bowl ban? Do they open up a waiver? Are there some kids who feel like Hugh Freeze misled them? Yes. Is that impacted by a bowl ban thing? Maybe so. I don't know, Chase. I mean, it's almost impossible to know where this thing's headed right now. I can't even – is it a one-year bowl ban? Do they just basically accept it? There was a lot of optimism out of the Ole Miss camp, if you will, coming out of Covington. Does that optimism turn out to be, you know, justified? If it does, I don't know how many guys are looking to leave. How many guys don't really want to sit out a transfer year? Deontay Anderson was unhappy. How much of that unhappiness was because he couldn't get on the field? How much of that unhappiness was because the coach who recruited him wasn't there anymore? I don't know those answers. Does Deontay Anderson go to Oklahoma and play? Because if he does,
hard to believe that.
It's difficult for me to believe that. If he does, it's an indictment.
I don't like the odds.
I mean, I know what I saw that first year. But, you know, when a kid says, I'm not happy here, this isn't what I signed up for, I want out, I say let him out. And I also will say this. I'm principled, that's not the right word. As a matter of principle, I am against the transfer rule. Coaches aren't made to sit a year. Coaches can lie to kids throughout a recruiting process and bolt on the day after signing day, and there's no penalty. I know what happens if you take away the transfer rule.
It's constant recruiting.
It's constant free agency. Yeah, I get it. I'm just saying I think there's nuance here. But if a kid wants out and is willing to sit a transfer year, I say you release him and let him go, even if it means he goes across the street to the competing school. and I'm in the minority on that. Your facial expression revealed that you are with the majority.
I think in practice there's a lot of issues with that.
Oh sure.
I mean,
there's no question.
You know, it's a lot. It's not the same thing, but because it's where my brain works, it's kind of like coming back to, you know, college baseball has always done their gentleman's rule where when a kid commits, he's no longer committed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, he's no longer being recruited by other schools. That works in a way. It's starting to go away. I mean, I was talking to some different people about this, some different coaches from different programs, and within 10 years, it's going to be like basketball or football or anything else. I mean, the money is getting more. The expansions and stadiums are getting more and more and more. There's just more resources. So before long, it's gonna that rule is gonna be gone. It just is what it is. They're already kind of working around it a little bit. I mean, I heard a specific incident, but, and I'm getting off topic a little bit. But you know, you have the guy called the summer league coach, and you go, well, you know, so and so, I hate he committed to State U because had he been open, I mean, we could really use a third baseman like him. I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, I hate that. Well, I mean, you may talk. No. I mean, he would have to fully decommit and be released and stuff. We don't touch that. But I'd like, you know,
in the event,
yeah, a guy like him would have a place on our roster. I'm
mean,
just
if,
telling
if
you.
Something were to happen and he decided that, you know, maybe I was premature in my commitment to State U.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously,
I wish he'd waited a little longer because we really liked him. I mean, we just couldn't quite pull the trigger, but it's loaded now.
So you don't want me to tell him that, right, Coach? Yeah. Oh. I mean, look, I can't tell you what to tell your players. I would never think of impeding on that. That is a relationship that we as a program respect.
But my point being, coach that's having this conversation, yeah, he'd really like to go recruit some of these other kids that went to State U and whatever.
Sure.
Here's the issue. He got to start protecting his own dudes too.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what a lot of college baseball coaches have said is, hey, there's only got two full-time assistants and a head coach here. There's not a lot of bodies and manpower to go around. If I got to spend half my time making sure dude over here isn't going to dude over there, then let's just make this easy for everybody. And it's going to give away or whatever, but that's kind of like this. I mean, you're not only able to poach somebody else's kids, you're constantly worried about your wide receiver and your quarterback and your left tackle, especially if you have a down season.
Well, I don't know if you've listened to the last couple of soft verbals where I talked to Woody Womack, I talked to Rob Cassidy. This is coming, and what's coming, let me tell you what's coming in about 3 weeks with this early signing period. Chaos. Chaos. Chaos is on its way. Kids are going to sign in this early period, and then coaching staffs are going to shake up, and not head coaches because that'll all be settled, assistant coaches, and it's going to hit the fan. By the way, remember this, 2 years from now, this early signing period disappears. They're going to vote it out. It's going to create so many headaches that they're going to vote it out so fast. It already doesn't have a mandate. It'll be gone. I don't know who the kid is because I have turned over recruiting to Russell, thank God. There's a kid, a national kid yesterday, who said, if you're a top recruit, do not sign in December.
Really?
And you know what? If I'm a guy advising a kid who's thinking about signing in December, unless you're enrolling in January, do not sign. Hang tight. Signing day will be here before you know it. Make sure that school that you picked is indeed going to be what you thought it was going to be. And then sign. Unless you're going to school in January, at which point go ahead and sign.
So the kids signing are the ones that are just trying to have life rafts to make sure they don't get left out of the boat.
I guess so, or they've made up their mind. Now, unless you're the kid that's going to go to State U no matter what. You're going to State U if it's winning championships. You're going to State U if it's a dumpster fire. You grew up, and this is the minority on kids is a vast understatement. It's the absolute scantest of minorities. If you are the kid who grew up, I'm going to go to Arizona. I'm going to Arizona. Mom and Dad went to Arizona. My brothers went to Arizona. Uncle Billy went to Arizona. I'm going to Arizona, no matter what. Okay, then sign with Arizona. But you're not the kid that's getting recruited much because the other coaches figure out quickly this kid's going to Arizona. But if you're going to Arizona because you like the wide receivers coach and you like the way he's coaching, I'd wait till February. make sure he's still there, because you sign in December and the wide receiver coach at Arizona takes the job as the wide receivers coach at Oklahoma. He's leaving and you're stuck.
We've been a little busy with things, and I'm just now kind of getting over to some of this Mars stuff. One last thing on that.
Okay. I'll be honest, I haven't kept up with the latest round of Mars stuff.
No, we were busy last night. Ole Miss is giving releases, or at least gave a release to Deontay Anderson. Why does he need a lawyer? The NCAA is the one that's got a rule on this. Is he going to sue the NCAA? I mean, Ole Miss's only thing he can do is that they can release him. It's not up to them anymore.
It's the only people he could sue.
I mean, unless you're trying to sue Ole Miss for misleading you, and good luck with that one, buddy.
Oh, have fun with that.
That's a waste of money on so many fronts, it's ridiculous. You have to sue the NCAA because they're the ones that's got to make this decision.
What would he be suing them for? Any idea? What would be the grounds of the lawsuit?
Beats me.
If he's not given a release?
Yeah, you have to sue that he should be given immediate,
so if
whatever.
The NCAA doesn't grant him a waiver to play immediately, he could sue them?
Yes. A lot of precedent there, bud.
I mean, I guess for there ever to be precedent, someone has to file a suit.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be intrigued by the case, but I just don't understand the legal need right now.
It's why if I'm Ole Miss, I'm like, yes, here's your release. We're out. Hands washed. Here's your release. Whatever paperwork you need us to transfer to wherever, we'll do it. We'll do it forthwith. We'll do it quickly. But we're good. It's the right move.
Seeing a tweet this morning, Jimmy Himes saying potential candidates at Tennessee now: Chad Morris, Kevin Steele, Jeremy Pruitt, Brett Venables, Mike Norvell, can't hire him, mm-hmm. Jeff Brohm, and that Pruitt and Venables have interviewed at Mississippi State.
Rumor that Lane Kiffin's interviewing with Mississippi State.
It's all a rumor. Well, there was a flight going from Boca to Starkville.
Which doesn't mean anything.
No, it was maybe Fayetteville. I don't know. A plane was going somewhere else. I saw it earlier.
Of course, Lane Kiffin's team is practicing this week. They have a game.
Yeah. As he was trolling Tennessee yesterday, you would have seen that. Some news outlet or site or whatever had reported that Lane Kiffin was waiting by the phone for Tennessee to call, and he said, however, he was not waiting. He was trying to win his ninth straight game against a really good North Texas team on Saturday. I love Lane. He's fun.
Yeah, for the people, like, why would you say you would hire Lane Kiffin? I'm in the media.
He'd be fun.
I can't help it. I think about what, you know how you think about what would be best for you? I think about what would be best for me. And covering Lane Kiffin, while it would have plenty of nightmares attached to it, it would be interesting.
Yeah.
Every day would be a new adventure.
Matt's out recruiting, so appreciate his few minutes this morning. You know, I haven't gone up or down enough for that. Did you keep big clothes for a while? How long did you do that?
No, I got rid of them pretty quickly.
Just to avoid that whole deal?
Yeah, well, because I just – that way I didn't have that ability to say, oh, well, you know, I've gained a few pounds back. I'll just put these on for today.
No, this is what I have. It's
this is what I have, so if these get too tight, I got to stop eating. Yeah, no, I'm terrified of it. Getting fat again is terrifying to me. Like, snake terrifying. I mean, I'm obsessed with it. Like,
Cobra or 30 pounds is a hard decision.
Yeah. I mean, seriously. The thought of that is, like, I'm telling myself now, this is news probably to you, I'm telling myself now that I'm going to run a marathon this year, meaning in the year 2018.
Are your legs and feet okay for that?
No. But if I do the training, I won't gain weight.
I ask this with love, and I'm curious.
Yes.
In a decade when you can't run marathons anymore and probably can't run 7-8 miles 5 days a week anymore, how are you going to manage this?
I don't know. I've thought about it. I don't know the answer to that. I'm going to have to come up with something, though.
Sam Darnold denied a rumor that he said he'd stay at USC next season if the Browns get the number one pick in the draft. Just saying.
He's denying the rumor?
Yeah, he's denying said rumor.
Yeah, it's because what if they get the number one pick in the next draft?
Yeah, I mean, the Browns aren't exactly winning a lot of football games, so at some point, I'm really nervous about the Saints' next little stretch, by the way.
Who they got?
Carolina, got to play Atlanta a couple times.
That Atlanta game's a Thursday night, right?
I don't know. I'm not doing well. I would have been more freaked out on Sunday had they not lost to the Rams. That was the one team that I had the soft spot because of my brother. But they didn't play well.
They didn't. Rams are good, though.
Yeah, the Saints didn't play well.
Goff is good. And they got the Saints, a couple of calls went against them, too. That hurt them.
And they'd won 8 in a row at some point.
They were due.
They were. I know. I just – you expect NCAA stuff this week?
I have no basis for this, but yes.
Is it just because you – all the weird dates have passed, so why not now? Is that what we're doing? I mean, is that the reason?
Well, I mean, I'll play along. If it doesn't come this week, why not? What the hell are they waiting on?
It's a complicated case.
Oh, come on. It's not that complicated. Why is it complicated? Let's play along for a minute. People want to know. I'm putting you on the other side of the debate. We're going to debate school for fun here. What is complicated about it?
It is a weird case. It is unique in a lot of ways.
Okay.
And because of that, you have to be very, very careful about precedent moving forward.
How is it unique?
Okay. We've had immunity in other cases.
Yes, it's not a new thing.
However, we have not had immunity where a rival school is allowed immunity to one of its players, or the player is allowed a limited immunity to essentially be the focal point of an attack on its rival.
Okay, did he tell the truth or not? Because if he told the truth, I don't give a damn about the rivalry. If I'm the NCAA, and you and I are playing devil's advocate here for people who think we're having a fight, we're not. If I'm the NCAA, play along with me for a minute.
Yeah.
If I'm the NCAA, why do I give a flying damn about a rivalry? I don't care. I don't care if your two schools fight each other all the time. I don't care if y'all. I don't care. Did the kid who was given immunity tell me the truth? Because if he told me the truth, Chase, you cheated. I have proof. He got immunity. That's one of the weapons in our holster. Boom, boom, you're dead.
And if he didn't?
Well, then the letter of our law says.
The letter that Greg Christopher sent to Leo Lewis.
It says that
prior to the COI said he was reminding him that he may or could lose his eligibility with a fib.
So if he lied to me, I guess my question becomes, did the people who were doing the investigation know that he was lying? Because if they did, now I have a problem inside. I have an inside problem. If they didn't know and they went down this path innocently and got snookered by this lying, conniving kid, well, then I'm going to take his eligibility away. I don't know why this has to be so complicated. Now, I'm not a bureaucrat, and I'm kind of a keep-it-real sort of guy.
You're not the guy that needs committees for everything.
I really don't like committee meetings. I don't particularly care for meetings much. I wouldn't fit in college athletics. I wouldn't need a meeting for everything. Now, you and I talked about this yesterday. One of the things missing in a lot of these college athletic programs, and I think it's missing in the NCAA, there's a market for a new guy. A new job, President Trump, if you're listening, there's a market for a new career.
It's Jeffrey's thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Hand raised guy. You're going to have these meetings where you all sit around in a circle, tell each other how awesome you are? Oh, it's a great idea, Bob. Sure is, Jim. Now we'll go show him. He ain't a hand raised guy to go, hey, Bob, Jim.
You can do that, but then here's what they're going
to
do.
When we walk out of this room to implement this idea, this is what that son of a bitch that we hate is going to say.
Yeah.
And frankly, he's going to have a little point. So let's think about that for a minute. That's lacking. So where is the guy that goes, okay, did Leo Lewis tell the truth? You sat there and looked at him September the 11th and September the 12th. You listened to a lot of attorneys, good attorneys. He had good attorneys on both sides. The attorneys representing Hugh Freeze and Ole Miss and Barney Farrar and Chris Kiffin and Maurice Harris and whoever, Derek Nix, are all talented, smart, successful attorneys. The attorneys representing Leo Lewis are smart, talented, successful attorneys. Agreed?
Of course. Yeah, it's good.
Okay, so you're listening to him. You heard them all. Do you believe him or not? And can you prove that he lied to you? Or can you prove that he told you the truth?
Because there shouldn't be a percentage of truth. It's either true or it's not.
Well, in this case, you either believe Leo Lewis or you don't believe Leo Lewis.
So you don't believe that it's this pick and choose thing at all where, hey, I believe him about this, but this, we kind of proved it's not true. This, hey, he's real credible here, but not here. And
no, that's absolutely absurd.
Yeah.
It's absolutely. So that's why when I say to people, they go, it's complicated. No, it's not. Do you believe him or not? If you believe him, well, then two things have to happen. Ole Miss needs to get hammered. Because if you believe him, man, Ole Miss was woo, number one. And then they're the stupidest cheaters on the face of the planet. But Mississippi State bought him. If you believe Leo Lewis, you've got to nail Ole Miss and launch an investigation into Mississippi State forthwith, right now, today. And you probably have to launch an investigation into LSU to make sure that indeed LSU didn't offer Leo Lewis's mom $650,000 for Leo's services.
It would be a very poor investment.
And then I would have to say to Leo, so wait a minute. Ole Miss offered you $15,000. Mississippi State offered you...
insert number or whatever.
Insert number that's less than $650,000. LSU offered you $650,000 and you didn't take it? Did you not do math? No, this thing is stupid. This thing has gone on way too long. It's absurd. Do you believe Leo Lewis or do you not believe Leo Lewis? And if you don't believe Leo Lewis, then you have to throw out essentially all of the second in a way except for the hunting camp.
Okay.
Hit them with a level 3. Make somebody go take some seminars this summer. Whoever was responsible for that, whoever allowed and set up Austin Golson to go hunt on Bobby Dunlap's hunting camp, you lose your week off at Disney World and you have to go sit through a seminar in Indianapolis. You get to be bored out of your mind and work on your doodling skills. That is the truth. And you need to be taken off the road for a week and written a nice, harsh letter of reprimand that goes into your file.
Then we move on with our day.
Bad boy. Bad boy. Next.
Yeah.
This is one or the other. No, so when people go, it's really complicated. No, it's not. And you know that the Merkels, Charles Merkel and Charles Merkel Jr. or the third or whichever one, I can't remember. I'm not making fun. I'm being serious. I don't remember. You know they're waiting. You know the lawsuit has not gone away. It's going to go forward. It might take a year or two to get finished, but it's going to go forward, and whatever you rule here is going to be at some time admitted into a civil court. So that's coming. And if the concern is, well, we're really concerned as a bureaucratic board. We're really concerned that if we strip the eligibility from this fine young man who lied to us, who led us down this path. If we take his eligibility away, no one will ever cooperate again in immunity. So we have to figure out how to thread the needle. Well, then you are completely, completely out of line with the role that you supposedly have in policing the schools. Now, Keep It Real Guy says, all you have to do here is change the rules. You can have an investigator. You have the school. If you agree, great. If you disagree, let's get rid of these COIs. Agree to arbitration. Independent arbitration.
True arbitration.
Yes. Baseball uses it. A lot of unions use it. You arbitrate something. You go in front of an arbitrator. He listens to it. Because he's Keep It Real Guy that goes, all right, so I believe you or I don't. But I'm not doing that. Well, you know, I believed you here, but you're lying to me here. Now you're telling me the truth here, but you're kind of lying. No, you're either telling me the truth or you're not. If you believe Leo Lewis, then everybody needs to go down. If you don't believe Leo Lewis, then this thing needs to be dismissed. Go back to the first NOA, which was a pretty good document. Ole Miss didn't fight much in that first NOA. It was a pretty solid document. And the investigation would have wrapped up in 2 years. Instead, we are still waiting for Ole Miss to be formally punished for kids having their ACT taken for them back when Shea Patterson and those guys were 10. Like, Shea Patterson was 10 years old when someone took Ralph Williams' ACT. Or when someone gave the ACT to Ralph Williams saying, a cat is A, a street, B, a city, C, an animal, or D, none of the above. Do you see what I did there about the cat being an animal? Okay, on to question two. Let's keep it real, guy.
It'd be a really good Saturday Night Live skit, wouldn't it?
The ACT proctor.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know exactly what they were. I honestly, this is what's crazy about it. Chicago is
a city in A, Kansas, B, California, C, Texas, or D, Illinois. Chicago, Illinois is a city in...
It happened so long ago that I used to actually understand the exact thing they were accusing them of, and I've completely forgotten now.
That's kind of my point. The kids who are going to be affected were 10 years old.
I've got another thought on that. We'll get to it in 1 second. First day of the podcast brought to you by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. We'll service lawn maintenance, landscape company serving Oxford, Tupelo, and the surrounding area, including my lawn. You're around. You can pick now to plant some flower beds or trees. It allows the root systems to establish before we get just constant freeze. And also, obviously, you're avoiding the hot, dry summer. If you've got leaves in your yard, they'll hook you up there with fence clearing, with cleanup, and more to make your yard look up to par. And lastly, don't forget to quote MasterCuts. When you're ready to build a fence, stone patio, deck, arbor, or other outdoor living area, you see them all over town. You see their signs. They do great work. You get a free quote with 662-607-7773 or MasterCutsLawn.com.
Podcast also brought to you by Vitamin. It's 3010 Old Taylor Road in front of the Faulkner Flats Apartments. It's next door to Lapel's Dry Cleaning. It's the same IVs and shots as before, but they've added the cryosauna, the infrared sauna. They have combo packages where you can detox the infrared, get fluids afterwards. It's a great way to wash away a wild weekend. You can get the overserve treatment after a really long night where you hop in the cryosauna to help with some inflammation, take care of those headaches. The smoothie bar, all natural foods, no added sugar. It's all there. Get in touch with Matt Payne and everybody over there at Vitamin, 662-638-3600. They're open Tuesday through Sunday, IVs and shots, Friday through Sunday. Call ahead, make sure there's someone there, and then or send them an email, info@vitamin.com. Everybody knows State Farm for being the number one insurer in auto, home, and life insurance, but did you know State Farm has a bank which allows them to do auto financing? Recently, State Farm has had a rate reduction in their commercial insurance rates. Give Romero Miller State Farm a chance to compare your business insurance policies. Also, if you own a rental property, Romero challenges you to give him a shot at that property. You won't be sorry. If you need another reason to give Romero a call, go to Google, type in Romero Miller State Farm, and then read the reviews. And then if you're in Mississippi or Tennessee, give Romero a call. He can take care of all of your insurance needs. 662-893-1212. The podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you are a business with a high-ticket product or service, HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, etc., Ben and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders, one very easy online application. Rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years. Loan amounts to 100,000, credit scores down to 580. They will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben, 443-935-5013. Ben is waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings, so call him today. A quick reminder again, OPC soccer registration is ongoing through December the 15th. The season begins in February, ends in April. All the games are played out at FNC Park. And it's $55 for new registration, $30 if you want to rejoin your team for the fall, ages 5 to 16, boys and girls. It's a great program. My kids were part of it. Chase's kid will be part of it at some point in the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I think we're already contemplating, like, was it mini kickers or whatever it is?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Make sure you get the right coach. Get on a team that can fix your team. You want to win.
Do it.
It's important to win. Anyway, all that, OxfordParkCommission.com.
She has really good balance. I'm a little freaked out we're going to be doing gymnastics or dance or something because she has eerily good balance. It's never been more evident that she was adopted because I fall over trying to get coffee in the morning. And
by the way, I mentioned Ole Miss Volleyball. They're hosting the first and second round of the NIT National Invitational Volleyball Championships, the NIVC tournament at the Gillum Center. It starts Wednesday night at 6. They take on Stephen F. Austin. Do you know the mascot for Stephen F. Austin?
The Lumberjacks.
Very good.
Yes.
Tickets, $5, can be purchased at the door. Ole Miss Hoops tonight, 7, South Dakota State. Wednesday night, it's the women's turn. Matt Insel and the women's team host Middle Tennessee State at 7. And then on Saturday, there's a Hoops doubleheader. The men host Virginia Tech at 1, and the women's team host Arkansas State at 3 at the Pavilion.
You have covered a football game involving another set of Lumberjacks. Who was it?
Ooh, Lumberjacks.
Yes. I did not cover this. I was at a wedding that night. Ole Miss played at this team in football. They were the Lumberjacks.
Real football? Lumberjacks. I'm stumped.
You don't have this one?
I don't think so.
Northern Arizona.
Ah, I would never have guessed. I would have guessed they were like the Panthers or something.
They had a quarterback that was a previous Ole Miss signee. He was the California all-time passing leader. Do you remember his name?
Tell me that again.
Okay, Ole Miss signed this kid. Then he transferred to Northern Arizona. He was the California all-time passing leader in high school.
And he played well against Ole Miss that night.
I don't remember. He's from Valencia, California.
I can't remember.
What is his name?
I can't remember his name.
Don't remember?
I don't.
Michael Herrick.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Michael Herrick, Northern Arizona, the Lumberjacks.
Who's he playing for now?
I have no idea. I don't know.
You don't know.
We're getting old. He's probably a little older by now. I don't know when that was.
I mean, he was probably in those classes with the ACT guys.
Maybe before, honestly. You mentioned, yeah, it was before. While we were at dinner last night, my daughter did pull a Christmas tree over in the middle of the floor. Completely just pulled it over. So that was good.
Carrie get mad. She yelled at her.
Well, I mean, do you blame a toddler for that?
Yeah. If you don't start the discipline now, Chase.
How'd you discipline a 20-month-old?
I can't joke. Alex McDaniel, you taught me well, Alex. I learned this from you. There are no jokes. We did not. We let the little angels do whatever they wanted.
No, I'm serious.
You say no.
And okay, you show and then what?
Them, no.
I'm not saying I'm hitting anyone. I'm just asking, what do you do, though?
I don't remember.
Okay. We're in a very independent phase right now.
Yes.
That's being diplomatic.
Yes.
Very independent phase.
If she knew how to give you the finger, she'd be giving it.
Yeah, I really want my way, and if not, I'm going to scream as loud as I can and try to embarrass you as much as possible. That is where we are. High-pitched screaming.
And I don't know that we ever went through that.
Yeah.
Really.
It's not good.
Either that or we just drank wine and we don't remember.
That's a joke. Stop. You got drunk and left your kid to do whatever it wanted is what you're saying. See? Look at you.
Child services heading over any minute now.
Yeah. Somebody from one of our one of our favorite listening areas is probably going to turn us in.
Hey, how funny would it be if Mississippi State hired Lane Kiffin?
And Chris had to come
and
back?
And Lane took Chris with him? Because I want to go. If that happens, I'm going to the first practice. Chris, this is Steve. Chris. I'm going to take a step back now and film this. Gentlemen.
Tennessee has now interviewed Mike Gundy, by the way.
Ooh. Now, this is how you fix things if you're Tennessee.
It's what Jimmy Himes says.
This is how you fix. Well, Jimmy Himes would know.
Okay.
Jimmy Himes is terrific. This is how you fix things. Because, boy, it's a nightmare right now. And if you're John Curry, I don't know that right now you can go hire a coordinator. Mike Gundy's going, I'm going to take this Tennessee thing. I'm going to get a raise.
Think so.
Tennessee right now is the prime target for you to go get yourself a raise.
If you're in any good standing at all, you can parlay this thing. I mean, it's also getting later in the process where teams are getting a little scared.
Late this week, people start panicking a little. I don't know why. It's dumb. It's dumb to panic over a day or two here and there. You're not impacting the recruiting trail's not that impacted over these 3 or 4 days. My opinion.
Yeah, contact period started Sunday, I think.
Sunday night, yeah.
Yeah. Ole Miss got a lot of people out on the road. Coverage at Rebel Grove for that from Russell Johnson. He's doing a great job, so check that out. Have video from the press conference yesterday. We've got some notes from the press conference yesterday. And then more in the coming days against Ole Miss, South Dakota State tonight from the Pavilion. I will not be there, but one Neil McCready will be.
I'll be there.
To bring you all the blow-by-blow coverage as Ole Miss returns from Vegas last week. Do have a big one, Virginia Tech, on Saturday.
1 o'clock Saturday, yeah. It's a
yeah,
big
Buzz
game.
Williams in town.
This is a big game.
Tonight.
They need to win games.
Yeah, need to win games. So. Ole Miss, South Dakota State, from the Pavilion. Make sure you see the blue sky, bottomless refill stuff. Take advantage of that while you are at the Pavilion. And, again, big thanks to Matt Luke for his time today. I know he's out on the road recruiting, and he did carve out a few minutes for us. So thanks to him for that, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.